Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, I'm Karen, and I've been attending here for just about 4 years now with my husband Wayne and son Brandon. Brandon was the one who just came up here bawling for some reason, so we'll sort that out later. And I actually woke up feeling really sick today too, and since my message is about peace, it makes sense that these little things happen, doesn't it? It's kind of like the devil's way of trying to say, don't have peace, don't turn to that side, everything will keep coming on top of you. And I kind of had a feeling these types of things would happen, and sure enough, here they go. A couple weeks ago when I sat down to think about what to speak about today, I naturally turned to prayer, praying, please God, help me figure out what you want spoken about on July 26th. Fill my heart with your message and not my own. And I sat for a while and I listened. And you know, sometimes you feel like you can't hear God and you're sitting and you're hearing silence for a while. But in my head, I was hearing chaos, not in a like report me kind of chaos, but just in like my head was feeling really clouded with stuff. And so I'm scrolling through my Bible and I'm scrolling. See how technologically a thingy we are today? I'm fingering through my Bible and scrolling through my online devotionals that I have, and hoping something would jump out at me for God's message to me. But instead, I had this big, long mental to-do list that kept coming to me as I'm praying. And everything, as much as I wanted to hear God, I kept hearing, get the shopping for daycare groceries done, go over the monthly budget, make sure you're still on track, pay your bills online, figure out tomorrow's craft for daycare, buy a birthday present for so-and-so. And I'm sitting there trying so hard to hear, at least hear quiet, so at least something can come to me. But even that wasn't happening. And lastly on the list, get my name change form submitted, because after almost 9 years of marriage, those still have not been put through. And that last one's been on the to-do list forever, but something always seems to come up more immediate, so things get put on the back burner, as everybody knows. Every time I sat down to ask God for help, to help me decipher what the message should be, my head would become frazzled with stuff. Stuff I needed to fix for myself, stuff I needed to fix for friends and family, and just general day-to-day stuff. But I had no peace. And that's when it hit me, maybe God wanted me to speak about peace, because often it helps to speak about things that you're also struggling with and you learn along the way. So I said, how about that, God? And I sat and listened, and I just had this calm and silence. I thought, okay, I got it. So today's message will be about not getting so wrapped up in tomorrow's work or even yesterday's that we forget to enjoy what God gave us today. So with a topic at hand and plenty of experience in trying to calm the storm to find peace in our lives, I sat down with a pen and paper. And considering the topic, I refused to get stressed about what to write about today, especially since it serves me as much as it serves you. So here's an example of me. I cannot stand clutter. And you would never guess it because I run a home daycare. So my house is packed to the brim with stuff that I have to keep, even for licensing. But it drives me crazy. And every day I cringe at the amount of stuff in my house. Funnily enough, I barely notice it in anyone else's houses. But in my own house, I have a small freak out over even if there's too much recycling building up. It can be clean and piled in a bag, and heaven forbid I would have a small avalanche of empty yogurt containers. Like, I just have these little things that build up like that, and they stress me for no reason at all. It's sorted, it's to the side, but I have this ongoing struggle with little things like that. One thing I still feel bad about recycling was a cardboard box from last year. And Brandon was about 3 years old, and we had picked up this Lego racetrack from a secondhand store. And I'm talking a big box, like this big, huge box. And we didn't need the box. It had its own little set inside to store it in. And every day I would put the box in the recycling, and every day Brandon would drag it out, pleading, please, Mommy, I love looking at the box. And he wouldn't even play with the toys. He just wanted this box. And we actually were going out one day, and Wayne said, okay, buddy, pick a toy you can bring in the car. And he excitedly said, can I bring the box? And we let him, and he dragged this big box to the car. And eventually I got sick of seeing this box, and I tossed it in recycling for good. But really, what is the harm in a box? As much as clutter was irritating me, who was the box hurting? If my son was happy to sit there and look at all the characters on the box and imagine all these different scenarios, who was it hurting? What did it harm? I think most of us know the rather famous verse from Matthew, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And Jesus, in all his purity and love, knew that we adults should be striving to be more like children, taking joy in the simple things in life, enjoying the little things, having faith the size of a mountain, and not stressing over something that's so minuscule, or at least something that doesn't merit stressing over. My daycare kids, we're allowed 7 daycare kids a day, and they're all obsessed with bugs, all equally obsessed. And we'll plan out these great big things for the yard and all these different activities, and they'll be sat on the ground looking for bugs. It doesn't matter what you plan. They love letting wood bugs crawl on them and watching an ant go back and forth with food, and they'll watch for a good hour. And they're making these little, they're gathering pine cones and twigs and grass and making these little bug houses. And they just seem so relaxed. And I was thinking the other day, where is Karen? Well, stood beside them, but planning out the afternoon in my head. And I'm figuring out, how can I get so-and-so to eat some fruit and veg today? And how can I get another child to stop ripping books? And I was watching the kids so relaxed and thinking, why are we always so worried? Why are we always so stressed? Why don't we enjoy the now like children do? In Romans 5:1, it says, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace through God, our Lord Jesus Christ." It doesn't say we have deadlines and stress and angst. We have peace, and peace with God. And if we can have peace with God, why can we not that much more easily find it within ourselves? These are the things that God wants us to keep closest, I feel, not anxiety and worry. I was sitting there thinking about how God would parent us, as we call him Father, Abba. And I pictured him like a proud parent at a baseball game. And we're up to bat, and our Father is beaming with pride, and we're racked with nerves. But still, he knows we've got this, because he knows it's a journey and a process. We're up to bat, and he's cheering behind us, "Have faith in yourself," but we don't have faith in ourselves. And we worry so much about what we'll look like if we miss the ball. We miss the ball by a long shot. Strike one, absolute embarrassment. And God's behind us saying, "Take a deep breath, kiddo. It's fine. Try again." Granted, some of our parents may not have acted that way when we were kids. And maybe in your families or my family, we miss the ball and we become the family joke for a while. And it's completely different with how God parents us, I feel. I can promise you that if God was the only parent behind us up at bat, we would have had so much faith and love built up behind us, we would have knocked it out of the park, just with an explosion of parental pride, if nothing else. You can use this analogy for anything in our lives, too. Maybe your worry is a new job, or maybe an ailment or illness with a friend or family member, but God is still there. In John, it says, "Someday God will wipe every tear from our eyes. The same hand that formed the mountains will caress our faces." That sure sounds wonderful to me. But God placed us here and now for a reason. And maybe we don't know what that reason is, and we don't need to know what that reason is. But let's strive to enjoy what God gave us today and relax in the plan for here and now. This last March, I took a week off from daycare. And it was the first time in 5 years I had any vacation days apart from stat holidays. And it was over spring break, and everybody's excitedly telling me all these tropical places they're going, or at least over-the-border places, and, "Where are you going?" Because Karen finally took time off, which is hard to do in a daycare. And so I kind of mumble, "I'm like, where? Cuba? Cayman Islands?" And, "No, just Kamloops." And it was a bit embarrassing, and I was super excited to go see family there, but a bit bummed that I was spending my 1 week off in 5 years to go somewhere not that exciting. But when I got there, God had different plans for me. We pulled up to my mom and stepdad's house, and they had moved there 2 years ago, and I hadn't had still time to go see them. They had kept coming to us. And my siblings, all 8 of them, had been telling me about my parents' yard and like their scenery around their house. And we pull up, and they live next to a golf course, and in behind their house are these huge rolling hills. In front of their house, huge mountains with a river, horses grazing on the hillside, and magpies taking a bath right outside their window. And God's peace came over me there. And I was just so relaxed. And it probably helped having somebody who adored Brandon as much as us looking after him too. But it made me think about this verse from Isaiah 55. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Sometimes I let my worries and frets get the best of me. I feel like I have to fix things and fix things now. And sometimes I'll be looking through Bible verses, trying to help a friend in need, trying to find that, you know, when you're even writing a card and you're trying to find that perfect fitting verse. And sometimes I'll be trying so frantically to help somebody else with a verse that something will pop out and help me first. Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace." And so I was frantically looking for this verse to help a friend, and that one kept popping out at me. And I realized it was to serve me. And it stopped me dead in my tracks as I was so frantically looking to do this in such a hurry before the mail got picked up. And I thought, why the rush? Why the stress and the pressure? Why do we put these on ourselves? If the card to support a friend arrives on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, they're not any less supported and lifted up in prayer. So some of you might know right now our family is at the beginning of a journey to adopt a brother or sister for Brandon. And my mind is always running with these continuous thoughts about it. Fundraising stuff, endless paperwork, as you know what some of the stuff that goes into it. Thank yous for everyone lifting us up in prayer, and just general things like that. Not to mention the endless array of questions every day. What will his sibling's name be? When will they be at his house? And stuff like that. And so we try to get through all these processes and still explain to him how long of a process it is. And we're just slowly working away at these little chunks. And I was sitting there thinking about it the other day, completely frazzled, and I realized I'm worrying way more than I'm praying. And that's not good, is it? So that's something I'm trying to change. In my heart of hearts, I know that everything will work out perfectly fine, however that may be. And I understand that God has my today. I just need to relax and remember he's got tomorrow already as well. It doesn't say much to God if I'm so boggled with the ideas and processes of today, I crash and burn, of tomorrow, that I crash and burn in the present. In Philippians 4, 6 verses 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And that verse really popped out at me because I felt like I was doing all these public things to thank people and approach people about the adoption, and I almost felt like I needed to retreat back and kind of bubble myself for a while, and I kind of felt like I was almost putting it out there too much. And I felt like when I read that verse, that God will guard your hearts, it really spoke to me. Jill Bailey, obviously right now, is in England, and I'll have to thank her for this later. She recently taught Brandon's Sunday school class, the preschool class, and she had something given to the kids that illustrated God's peace and joy to me. Brandon came out of Sunday school class with this little cup of soil and a little popsicle stick in it that said sunflower. And I thought it was really sweet, and we watered this little cup of soil every day, little seed. But honestly, I didn't think it would make it past the cup. If anybody's seen my house, there are no plants, not even fake ones. I can't keep anything alive, except for children. Good at that. And I can grow and raise up kids fairly decently, but I cannot keep plants alive no matter what I try. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's not worry about it. Let's just water it. It's not going to hurt anything to try. Water it anyway and see where it goes. And so I thought, well, I guess it's worth a shot. A little hesitantly, but tried not to be. And this little seed had a different plan, and it was like, I think I can. Or as Wayne pointed out to me, I think he can. And when this little seed sprouted up, it was maybe this much out of the soil, and I'm like, yes, victory! And I maybe did a touchdown dance or two. And we moved it to a bigger pot twice, and this plant is this high now, and he only got it quite recently, and it's massive. And every time I look at that plant, I look at these gorgeous sunflowers, and I just feel peace, because no worry went into it at all. I just put the worry aside and thought, what does it hurt to try? No worry went into this plant, only faith, love, and nurturing. And look at it now. And imagine, I was sitting there thinking, imagine how we would grow with less worry in our lives. So Wayne's outside right now, which is probably for the best. I did ask permission to use this story, but he wasn't entirely impressed. But I had to share this lighthearted story with you about rushing, trying to save time. So in general, Wayne isn't as much of a worrywart as I am, but he does stress over time management. So like Pastor Ted, he likes finding gizmos and gadgets, stuff that will shave a bit of time off his chaotic and rushed life. And he discovered on his cell phone something called the S-Voice. This side of the room will probably know the S-Voice a little better. And you can speak into this little app on your phone, and it kind of does tasks for you, simple tasks. Like you can say, you can turn on the mic and say, wake me up at 10:32 tomorrow, and it'll do it. And you can say, you can read off your notes, and it'll read it right back to you. And so Friday we were out of breakfasty foods, and Wayne said, oh, I'll just do a quick run to Tim Hortons before work. But he didn't want to waste time getting a pen and paper to write down our few things, so he got out his S-Voice. And he read the order into the mic so he could get to the drive-thru and read it back really quickly. And it's a good thing he didn't just hold the mic out, because it was really wrong. And so he said into his mic the order, a large triple-triple coffee with a vanilla bean shot, a chocolate milk, a 10-pack of Timbits with no honey crullers, don't judge me, and a 4-cheese bagel toasted with herb and garlic cream cheese. Now, one problem, his Northern English accent, combined with the fact that these apps often aren't very perfect. And when it read the order back, it said the following, a large triplet coffin with a vanilla bead shop, a 1-in-10 park of Timbits with no honey creepers, and my favorite, a fourth cheese bag toasted with evangelic cream cheese. So I'm sitting there, I'm in hysterical tears, and a funny how for Christians it would say evangelic cream cheese, which I just thought was so funny. And see, we spend so much time worrying about how to save ourselves time, we waste even more time, because I took at least 10 minutes getting him a pen and paper after, because I couldn't stop laughing. And so sometimes maybe it's better to just get the pen and paper, at least with that accent. So glad he's outside right now. So just to prove that I need today's message as much as anyone else in here, I thought I'd give you an example of my daycare. So I'll just call them kids A, B, C, so we don't use names. But just so you know, kid B is Brandon. That will really upset Wayne even more that I'm doing this. So there's me. I say, okay, guys, let's sit for story. Quiet time, please. Kid A, my mama's hair up her nose. Me, oh, well, that's fine. Let's read, though, so we can get out and play in the sunshine, okay? This book is by Dr. Kid B. Just tell your mom to pluck her nose hairs. That's what my daddy does, but you need tweezers. Me, guys, enough. Let's read our story, okay? We'll talk after, I promise. We love this book. Kid C, that guy's staring at me. Why is he staring at me? Me, okay, everybody stop. We need to get this story finished. Fingers on lips. Kid B, my son, but that's Jeremy. You always say keep our fingers away from our mouths. Me, guys, enough now. Listening ears, please. Kid A, my brother has germs, but I not. Him is yucky and him needs a bath. Me, I came right back, though. And you see, peace doesn't necessarily come easy to me. I have a very funny job, but sometimes, you know, these things sound funny when it's the first time, but not when it's the millionth time that day. And sometimes I feel like I'm treading water a lot. And I take things to heart often. Sometimes I'll say something and totally overanalyze it, and it might have totally brushed past the person and I didn't mean any harm by it at all. And sometimes I'll think of it for years. And I said something once to a friend about a birthday card that I had given her, and she kind of had made a face. And I honestly still think about it to this day, and it was the most ridiculous thing. And so one day we were joking around at this dinner, and I brought it up about this funny thing I had said about her birthday card that I gave her. She had no clue what I'm talking about. I'm the one stressing over it for a good 4 or 5 years. She didn't remember it, and she honestly doesn't even remember anything like that happening. And so that's the thing, is we put all this anxiety on ourselves. It doesn't mean anybody else's, and it certainly doesn't mean God wants us to have it there. So with the daycare stresses, I put this sign on my door. I got this sticker from the dollar store, and it says, with God, all things are possible. And I put it on the back of my laundry room door, which is in daycare. So when I have these moments where I want to bang my head on the wall, I just lean on the sticker and pray for peace. In Psalm 62, it says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. Whatever seems to be hindering us, be it small potatoes or giant boulders, we can rest in the assurance that God's got it all. He's got it all covered for us already. Now, a lot of you, me included, feel angst over just having too much on our plates. And it seems to be a big problem in this day and age. Everybody feels so rushed, over-scheduling, things like that. And we try to do all these great teams and clubs for our kids, and we end up completely spent. But when I thought about speaking today, finding peace doesn't mean not answering a call to serve. It just means prioritize, go into things prayerfully. For me, for example, writing today's message caused me a lot of concern, only because of how much I have on my plate right now, just due to lack of time. But when asked, I jumped in with both feet, because I love going to this church where when a pastor's away, or even both pastors are away, people can step in. People still show up to hear it, which is lovely, because that wasn't the case at my last church. And it's a great thing that a church recognizes that our pastors put so much time into our church, and they need a break, and people can step in, and people can still show up to hear, and life just carries on. And I think that's great, and I think that for our pastors, it's really nice that they can go away and actually feel rested, that everything's still going as usual. So I committed to today and prioritized down the list from there. So maybe other things remained on the to-do list for another week, but my life will not come crashing to a halt. In fact, this message actually probably saved me time on things because it's taught me a lot about myself. So if anything, it will cause me less worry in general, and it will save me time. And prayerfully, I'll figure the rest out. A lot of us might struggle finding personal peace for other reasons. Illnesses, financial struggles, family troubles. Let me offer this passage of peace and hope from John 14:27. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. It's a beautiful passage, but if we look in the Bible where this passage is from, this is right before Jesus was crucified. And I just thought it was so incredible that he knew what was coming. He knew he had this indescribable death on its way that was not even a debt his own. And he's trying to reassure us, his people. And I just thought that was amazing. And earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard in the midst of struggles and troubles not to worry. And I don't think it's about not worrying. I think it's about what we do with that worry. If we sit on that worry and remain closed off in our anxiety and stress, that worry can eat us alive. But if we take our worries and stresses and anxiety and bring it before God, beauty can arise. And probably a lot of people have seen examples of that here. Maybe somebody's asked God for adequate money to get groceries to feed their children. Maybe a couple days go by and they wonder why we weren't heard. Why didn't God answer our prayer? But all of a sudden, days or weeks later, somebody reaches out to help, and it's often somebody who had no idea the problem that was going on in your life. It's a complete random act of kindness, and they knew nothing about it, and all of a sudden, it completely ministers to the need you had. And I feel like that's because God can answer our prayers by putting us and our needs on the heart of another. Something beautiful will form, and somewhere along the way, you'll figure out why God chose them to help you. Maybe the person who helped get groceries is somebody who struggles to find their place in the world. Maybe they just need to feel needed. And things will become crystal clear why God seemingly didn't help the first day or two. Maybe he helped on the fourth or fifth or sixth day because he was weaving something more precious. Now, this past week, I went over this message and tried to tweak parts here and there with what time I had, make sure it wasn't too long or too short, and I got a bit bummed out, and I was sitting there trying not to stress. I'm saying, I refuse to stress, but something was kind of niggling at me going, what are you doing? You have no clue what you're doing up there. Take some money, hire a pastor. And I was honestly about to do that. I have a few friends, and I even know a Baptist pastor in Vancouver. I thought, I wonder if he'll come out last minute. And I was thinking, people are going to go, what is she doing up there? And if I wasn't so self-conscious about how I looked bailing out on something and it would eat alive at me for the next 10 years, then I might have done that. So I decided to take a break. And I signed on to Facebook, which is not usually where you turn for answers, but I thought, I just need something completely relaxed for a minute, something to take my mind off it. And so I thought, let's see what's going on in my friends' worlds. And so, you know, you get these graphics. It's a little visual with a bit of text. And the first thing, when I sign on to Facebook, my friend has, and it says, child, why do you worry so much? I've got this. Remember, love God. If that wasn't enough, right below it, another friend, it said, Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen to me that you and I can't handle. And so, no, we're not nearly as qualified by any stretch of the imagination as our pastors. They train in this for years. But I think God can use, if we prayerfully go into it, God can use what's what we can give. And I think God can use us in different ways, even if it means speaking about something plastered on our Facebook wall. And in some way, it'll reach somebody. So I'm sure lots of you have seen the newest photo of the NASA photo of Pluto. And for those of you who haven't, I urge you to Google this. If Pluto is this big, they're taking a photo from NASA. There is a heart this big on Pluto. And it's just amazing. And I tried to get a thing for the PowerPoint, but it didn't kind of pan out. But it's surreal. Well, I guess it's surreal if you're not of this faith, but if you're a Christian, you see these things happening all the time. But it's really neat that this dwarf planet, something like 7 billion kilometers from Earth or something like that, is still glowing with God's sign of love for us. And I just thought that was really amazing. There's someone in our family who Wayne, Brandon, and I completely adore, as everybody in our family does, and that's my grandma. My grandma is one of the strongest women or people in general I have ever met, and she's filled with an immense peace from God. It always leaves everyone encouraged and inspired. My grandma's 92 years old, and she's always started her day with an hour of prayer, and I'm sure sometimes more. At 5 and 6 a.m., when we're still snoozing or willing ourselves awake and wiping sleep from our eyes, she's speaking with her best friend. Now, you may think, well, maybe at 92 you have a lot of spare time. Maybe an hour of prayer isn't such a big deal at 92. But not my grandma. She's still super busy. She's crazy involved with all these groups and prayer chains and church ministries in Burnaby. But she learned long ago that starting her day in such a way sets the pace and the tone for the day. And she's talked about over time how it's easier to stay calm and praise on. She didn't use those words, but I like that. Stay calm and praise on. When you've started your day wrapped in the arms of the one who wants to help you conquer the day. Now, before I close in prayer, I want to leave you with a passage from a book. And before, when I've spoken, I've talked about this author, Max Lucado, and he's one of my favorite Christian authors. And there's this book called The Applause of Heaven. And I was reading this book, looking for passages to help. And there's 3 books in this one big, giant, oversized book. There's 3 books in it. And I open the book and page 19, and there's this passage right away. And it's just like, you couldn't find a faster sign, except maybe the Facebook things. And I just thought it was really neat. So Max Lucado is writing about his writing. He's writing about being an author. And he's writing about how he waits for the chaos to pass each day, for his kids to lovingly be tucked into bed. And he relaxes and listens as God's peace speaks to him, and he writes from there. So he's an author and a pastor. He's a pastor in Texas, so he certainly has a lot to write for. He has books, sermons, etc. In this passage he shares, he writes, what was a playroom 30 minutes ago is now a study. And what is a study now may, just may, become a sanctuary. For what may happen in the next few minutes borders on the holy. I wish I could say it happens every night. It doesn't. Some nights he asks, and I don't listen. But some nights I hear his poetic whisper, come to me, all you who are worried, weary, and burdened, and I follow him. I leave behind the budgets, the bills, the deadlines, and I walk the narrow trail up the mountain with him. You've been there. You've turned your back on the noise and sought his voice. You've stepped away from the masses and followed the master as he led you up the winding path to the summit. His summit, clean air, clear view, crisp breeze. Stubborn joy begins by breathing deep up here, up there, before you go crazy down here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for giving our two wonderful pastors some time away and letting the church just carry on as usual. Thank you for everyone here. Please help us to realize every single day, every minute of the day, you've got our backs. You know what will happen before it happens, and we can trust in you. Please help everybody here have a safe week. Please let our pastors be having a great time while they're away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.